Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
All right, so the first holiday weekend in our new normal is this weekend, just around the corner. So we want to know, Greater Boston, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? If you need ideas, we have just the thing for you. We have two guests who know the city inside and out, from fake Vikings, and there's such a thing, to a sneaker store hidden behind a vending machine. Heather Kaplow and Kim Windica are two local travel writers, the authors of the new book, 111 Places in Boston That You Must Not Miss, and headline, they're not all in Boston. Heather, Kim, welcome to Radio Boston. Thanks for joining the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Tiziana.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you have a sneaky favorite hidden spot around the city or the region that you want to share? Do you have questions about oddities that you think your guests might know? Maybe you're looking for advice on where to go. Call us, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston. Okay, I am excited to dig in. This book is chock full of really cool stuff. Right off the top, one of my favorite things is the fake Viking memorials. Heather, who knew we had that? Tell us about them.
Well, I will say that I did not know that we had that, but actually WBUR did. And you guys, I should give a shout out, were one of my research resources in this. So a writer or a journalist named Megan McGinnis wrote a piece about this.
Megan McGinnis.
Yeah, 2018. And I used a lot of different resources, but that was one of them. And I feel like I should give credit where credit is due. But
she's going to appreciate that.
So there are a series of memorials to a fake alternative history, I guess, that Boston has, which was sort of started in the 1870s, where some very wealthy folk, including a baking soda magnate, underwrote an entire series of monuments, a tower in Weston, Mass. But in Boston, we have a statue of Leif Erikson on the Commonwealth Mall. And in Cambridge, a marker for a house where Leif Erikson supposedly lived in 1000 AD.
But didn't.
Didn't at all.
Okay. So, Kim, let me turn to you for a minute, because I'm looking at the book. It's page 197. There's this picture of a cod. I got the biggest kick out of this, the sacred cod at the State House. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so actually this one was also Heather, that she wrote the chapter, so she can speak to it more than me specifically.
So Heather, do you want to, or do you, Kim, do you want to tell us about one of yours?
Yeah, sorry. So one of my favorite ones actually is the Puppet Free Library, which is—
Oh yeah, this one's very cool.
Yeah, chapter 90 in the book. It's a kind of hidden tribute to the lost art of puppetry. It's actually in the basement of Emmanuel Church in Back Bay, and it's run by a puppeteer named Sarah Peedy, who she actually trained and performed with Bread and Puppet Theater, if you've heard of them. You basically go through an Alice in Wonderland-like door, as I mentioned in the chapter, and it's by appointment only, since it kind of doubles as her studio. And for several years, she had an informal practice of kind of lending out puppets to people in the community to use them for events, which she still does today, but she kind of formalized the process of signing them in and out, hence the name library. So they're used, you know, in parades like Honk Fest throughout the year. And some of them are just huge, 20 feet tall, and just really cool to see.
All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-423-8255 to either ask a question about your favorite regional hidden place or share an idea. We're all going out somewhere, or not all of us, but many will this weekend and step outside and try something new. What do you recommend they try? We've got Anne on the line. Anne, I think you're in the car in Foxborough, right?
Yes, I am. Thank you. I just would recommend, it's outside the city, but a wonderful place to visit that a lot of people I don't think know about is the Fruitlands Museum and the whole complex in Harvard, Massachusetts. It's a wonderful place for people to visit.
So it's a museum and open space, Anne, is that right?
Yes, yes it is. And it has a shaker museum as well as the Fruitlands themselves was a utopian community that was started by Louisa May Alcott's father and some of the other transcendentalists. And it's a really nice place to have a picnic, and they used to have concerts. I'm not sure with COVID if they still have concerts.
Right. Right. Thanks for the recommendation, Anne. I appreciate it. Now, there are more calls coming in. We'll go back to them. But, Heather, I still think that cod is really cool. So now that we've heard about the Puppet Museum, which was on my list, let's come back and talk about the sacred cod at the State House.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk about this. This was sort of a weird oddity that I really had no idea about. You know, this, I'm super excited to find out about it. So I guess Boston, like other places in the world, but cod fishery is like critically important to Boston's culture, Massachusetts culture in general. And so there is a giant, like more than 4 foot long, I guess maybe probably almost 5 foot long wooden codfish, like very super hyper realistically painted, hanging in the house chamber in the Massachusetts State House. And it's not the first one, the one that's there now. There have been like an official cod since 1784. And the cod itself, like each cod has had some kind of major trial to get us to the current cod, including one that was burned down and one that was codnapped by the Harvard Lampoon folks, who are also in our book. The Charles River was dragged in search of that one before it was returned. And there's
did
also
they get
like
into
a lot
trouble?
Of, I don't know. I'm assuming they did. The police dragged the whole Charles River. So, but I think the most important or interesting thing to me about this is that there are a ton of rituals surrounding this. So like when the cods had to be moved from one place to another, there's a sergeant at arms carries it. It's escorted with messengers, like a coffin with an American flag over it. And there's a ton of like legislative paperwork and committees who talk about how this symbol's to be moved. So I think it's really just a beautiful thing that we've decided to put like the labor of fisher folk first in
awesome.
This ritualistic way.
All right, let's go back to the phones, 1-800-423-8255 to share your hidden and favorite place. Let's talk to Andrew in Brookline. Andrew, what you got?
Well, there's a secret garden in Harvard Yard behind Lamont Library. And the only way to get to it, you know how Harvard Yard is surrounded with these brick and wrought iron walls? There's a door. A piece of the wrought iron is hinged, and you can't really see it unless you look closely, and it's usually padlocked, but sometimes it's not. And if you hinge that open, there's a little path that takes you back to this garden behind the library. And I'm told that Mark Halperin, the author of Winter's Tale, when he was an undergraduate at Harvard, used to sit back there and write. It was a place he could find some peace and quiet.
Well, that sounds lovely. And these are the fun things to go look for. Andrew, thank you for that call. So Heather and Kim, another one that I just found fascinating, and I don't know which one of you wrote this one, so you can tell me and talk about it. Who's going to tell me about the bodega? Because that was kind of incredible.
Yeah, so bodega is basically a sneaker speakeasy. And it's also, you know, a secret kind of passageway. I love kind of secret and hidden places. So I was definitely drawn to them when researching for the book. So it's basically a convenience store facade, though you can purchase convenience store items there. And you go through a fake Snapple vending machine to get to this super curated, really cool sneaker shop. They have no signage. It's all really word of mouth advertising they've relied on. And they've been there, I believe, let's see, probably close to like 15 or 16 years now. And even if you're not, you know, a sneakerhead or super into sneakers, it's definitely worth checking out.
So I was going to ask you, I mean, I noticed in the book, the only picture we get is of the bodega part, not the secret part behind the fake Snapple vending machine. If secretivity, right, is part of their cachet, Were they okay? I guess they must have been okay with being in the book, but I thought that was a little bit interesting.
Yeah, that's true. Our photographer Alyssa kind of worked her magic with a lot of the places that, you know, aren't necessarily typically you know, accessible to the public right away to get some of these shots, which was also really interesting. So I'm not sure what transpired or if they, you know, didn't want her to get back there for the shot. But, I think that's part of the fun.
So listeners, we're talking about secret places, hidden places, surprising places down secret passageways. But maybe this weekend you're just going to go back to one of your favorite places. Maybe it's the Ducklings. Maybe it's the Swan Boats. Maybe it's a park in Lexington or Concord. Where are you going to go this weekend? Where do you think other people ought to go? 1-800-423-8255. 1-800-423-TALK. That's the number. So you guys talk about now the Omni Parker House, which was the historic Parker House Hotel, which really has a deep history. I knew a little bit about it, but you surprised me with some pretty famous revolutionaries who have been on the staff there over the years. Talk a little bit about that one.
Yeah, this one falls in my pile again. I've had some pretty close contact with the Omni Parker House in the past, and this still took me into depths that I had no idea. Starting, I think, in terms of revolutionaries, in 1911, Ho Chi Minh worked in the kitchen there and, left behind a marble countertop that's still used to this day.
I'm sorry, but we have to stop. I'm sorry. Ho Chi Minh cooked in the kitchen of the Omni Parker House.
Yep.
Incredible. Sorry, I'm sorry, what?
It's amazing. And then we also had Malcolm X did a little bit of a stint there as a busboy. And then a lot of famous chefs and writers have spent some time there. Plus, there's a few ghosts.
Ghosts. Okay. Don't stop after the word ghosts. You have to tell us a little more about that.
Well, the most prominent ghost is Harvey Parker, who founded the hotel. And actually, he's a very kitchen focused person. So who's in the kitchen does matter in the culture of this hotel, I think. But and also, I should say that the Omni Parker House is the longest continuously operating hotel in the country. Because I don't know if people know that, but
I don't think so.
It was founded by Harvey Parker, who is famous for the Parker House rolls. It's also the place where the Boston cream pie was invented. And he had once had a cafe, and then he turned it into a hotel. And apparently, he still checks in on guests on the 10th floor to make sure that they're comfortable and happy and enjoying their stay. Charles Dickens apparently roams the halls from time to time too.
Yes, and Dickens actually, WBUR, we do a reading of the Christmas Carol every year. He did a reading there, and there is a mirror in a hallway there that supposedly is the one where he would practice when he was going to do a reading. It really is quite incredible.
Yeah,
let's take another call
reading
here.
Of the Christmas Carol was there. Sorry,
right, yep, right.
At
go
Tremont
ahead.
Temple, I think the mirror is there now. Yeah. So there's just a lot of Dickens lore floating around that area.
So cool. 1-800-423-8255 to join the conversation. Peter's got a place to share. Peter's calling from Weston. Go ahead, Peter.
Hi there. I've tried this place. It's really great. It's called Bed and Breakfast Afloat. It's a place to stay on the harbor in a boat.
It's almost a Seuss rhyme.
It's at Constitution Marina, and it's just a fun way to spend a weekend.
There you go. So what about the other kinds of things we like to do on the weekend, Heather and Kim, like eat out or see a movie? Do you have favorite places for those things in this book?
We do have the specifically the midnight showings at the Coolidge Corner Theater, which just reopened, I believe, last week or the week prior. And, you know, that's one of my favorite places to see a movie personally, just the history there. And the shot in the book we have of one of the theaters is just gorgeous. So that's one of my favorites.
How about food?
Go ahead.
No, go.
I would say for movies, it's not quite the season for it yet, but Films at the Gate in Chinatown is sort of a really special way to see a movie, and they haven't done it since 2019 because of COVID, but it's been going on since 2006, I think, and it was founded by a group who's no longer based in Boston, but the Asian Community Development Center still runs it, and it's curated by an amazing historian of both film and martial arts. So there are kung fu films, and you bring a folding chair and everybody eats like takeout food while they watch the films and scream along and, you know, like clap for the heroes. It's a completely unique way to see a film.
It sounds fantastic and so communal. And isn't that remarkable that we've been so separated now for more than a year, and we're beginning to be able to think about having some of these communal experiences again. Let's go back to the phones here. 1-800-423-8255. Andy's calling. Andy, you're calling from Boston Harbor area yourself. Tell us what you want to share.
There are two places. One is outside of Boston. It's in Rockport. It's the Paper House. The entire house, which was built, I think, around 1920 or so, was made by rolled and shellacked paper. The owner of the house was an engineer. Everything is made out of paper, including the piano, the grandfather clock, all the furniture inside, the exterior. Everything is made out of paper, and the house is still there. It was closed during the pandemic, but, I mean, I went there as a kid with my parents, and I bring friends there all the time when they come to the city.
And this is Rockport.
That's in Rockport. It's on Pigeon Cove in Rockport, Cove Road. And the second one is the Vilna Shul, which is the oldest still standing synagogue in the city of Boston. It's right on Phillips Street in Beacon Hill. And it's part museum and part working synagogue still. But it's on this residential street in this beautiful neighborhood. And it's just a little tucked away, but it's a gem. And the museum part of it tells the whole history of the West End, which at one time had as many as 40 synagogues in it. And the Vilna is the only one still standing.
Thanks for those, Andy. Those are hidden gems as well. Andy, thanks for the call. I'm going to grab another call here from Sarah in Jamaica Plain because it has to do with the Parker House. Sarah, go ahead. Sarah, are you
Maybe
there?
Maybe not, but yeah. Can you hear me?
Okay, now I can.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, this may have been mentioned already because I came late into the story, but maybe not when you're talking about the Parker House. But there's also in the dining room, I don't know if it's haunted or not, but I don't think they let people sit there, a corner table where JFK actually proposed to Jackie, who became Jackie Kennedy. And that's where he proposed to her.
All right. Thanks,
table.
Sarah. Heather and Kim, you guys have something to say about that, right?
Yeah, there's a little bit of controversy about this issue. There is also a restaurant in D.C. that claims that this is where this proposal was made. And we've dug pretty deeply into the archives and the microfiche at the JFK Kennedy Library, and we have been unable to ascertain which is true. And then there's also a third theory, which seems also very plausible based on just the timeline of the news reporting, which is that the proposal happened by phone or telegram while Jacqueline was in, I believe, Rhode Island with her family.
I think it was Newport,
Rhode Island. Yeah, with her family. So
we can't prove that one, but we can go ahead and claim provenance in the region at the very least. D.C. can be second
there.
In row.
I mean, they had many, many, many meals at that table. So
excellent. So, Sarah, if you're still there, does that change your mind about how cool that table is to know that that's actually a story in dispute?
No, because even if he didn't do it there, it's more than likely that they had dinner there at some point. So, you know, whether he did the proposal there or not, who cares? It's significant. There are a lot of, you know, significant sites in Boston obviously have to do with the Kennedys. So, you know.
Excellent.
Hey, I'll take it.
I love the
DC,
who cares.
Which, yeah, I think if it was D.C., that's maybe more than likely because she was working as a reporter when she originally met him. That's how she met him. She was doing an interview. But, you know, it was some time before he proposed to her, and she was actually engaged to somebody else. She broke her engagement in order to marry him. So, yeah.
Well, Sarah, thanks. Thanks. So I want to note Marquise Neal, our engineer, and Paris Alston, one of our producers, want to throw in their favorite spot, which is the Area 4 Arcade in the back of Roxy's on Mass Ave in Cambridge between Kendall and Central Square. It's a great place to check out. And Walter Wuthman, another one of our producers, says, swim off the pier at the Charlestown Navy Yard on a really hot day. He says it's fantastic, and the harbor is very clean now. All right, so Heather and Kim, any place that didn't make it, you wanted to put it in the book, but for one reason or another, you didn't?
Yeah, for me, that's actually Norman B. Leventhal Park in Post Office Square in the Financial District. It's just such an oasis in the middle of the city. And when I work downtown. I used to go there frequently. You know, there's a beautiful covered trellis and a fountain, and it just feels kind of worlds away from the city. And I was really kind of sad to have to part with that. But I think we probably had too many parks and green spaces in the book already.
So Heather, what about you? What's yours?
I mean, I have so many, but we weren't able to include the Mirabella Pool, which is a city pool, a city owned pool that has this beautiful, it's in the North End, and it's got a beautiful view of the Atlantic Ocean. It kind of juts out over it. And, you know, very, very cheap to get a membership, very cheap to go with a day pass. And it was under construction, and we didn't know the final completion date at the time of publication. So we had to scrap it. And but it's a beautiful place, and I hope people look for it and swim in it this summer.
All right. So before we let you go, there's one more that I just have to ask about. We've got about a minute left. And it is the memorial, or lack thereof, depending on how you look at it, to King Philip's War.
Yeah, this was a risk we took, I think, to include a few sites that aren't quite places. But I think this is important because, you know, the colonial history of Boston also includes some colonialism that oppressed and harmed many other people. So King Philip led a rebellion in the Boston area and was assassinated. It was a year plus long rebellion, was assassinated and kind of drawn and quartered. And parts of his body were hung on spikes in Boston Common for many, many years. So there's a movement to have a memorial for him. There is actually a gravestone for him in Rhode Island, but there's a movement to have a memorial for him in Boston Common. And for now, we send people to a spot where a lot of other Native Americans were hung to sort of reflect on the history until there's a formal memorial. So,
and to note, He was a member of the Wampanoag tribe.
Right. Which a lot
All right,
of
well,
was.
So many rich and interesting and fun and serious places. Heather Kaplow, Kim Windica, authors of the new book, 111 Places in Boston That You Must Not Miss. And you convinced me on all 111 of them. Thanks to both of you for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
That was fun.